Hello, it's a VR podcasting. Paul Hopkins here. This is December 2nd and audio advent, hashtag audio advent. But this is what we're doing. We're getting putting audio together and not necessarily giving you a great big clue as to what's in the audio. So you have to open the audio advent door. So today I'm talking about Christmas past. And you know, I would start this thing by saying that I think there's some of the music I'm about to play to you will just show you how good music Christmas past music has been in my era. So from the when I was about 13-14, when I really started appreciating music per se. I'm sure you might say that, well, how can you appreciate some of this stuff that you would call music? But it seems to me that all the happiness, all the joy, all the razzmatazz, the orchestrated stuff really comes out at Christmas, or it used to. But what's happened to it all? I'll show you a song afterwards that was sort of the last one that sort of really brought in an era, one year of good Christmas. That was the latest, the most recent one I can remember. But let's go back a little bit first and fade old Shaky out there, or the instrumental one there, and bring this one in if I've got it right. No, not that one. I don't want you to have that one yet. This is the one I want you to have. We'll get to that one in a minute. So this is a bit of a fun one. This is one that I use quite a lot when I was talking last year and doing some Christmas stuff last year. But what is it? A lot. I mean, they just seem to. Oh, the one hit wonders. That was it. You know, you've had like, I think everyone from Enduring the Blockheads or Enduring the Snowmen or something. There was all sorts back in the 80s. 80s was a good decade for Christmas songs. I think this was back in sort of 1982-ish or something, this one. And it's Christmas Wrapping. It's by The Waitresses. And Spice Girls did a version of it. I love it. I don't know why. It just evokes, even in the angsty teenage years of a 13, 14-year-old, I love this song.
Bah, humbug, but that's too strong, because it is my favourite holiday. But all this year's been a busy blur. Don't think I have the energy. Dread am I already mad, rush just cause it's tis the season. The perfect gift for me would be completions and connections left from last year. Ski shop encounter, most interesting. Had his number but never the time. Most of 81 pass along those lines. So deck those halls, trim those trees, raise up cups of Christmas cheer. I just need to catch my breath.
And maybe that was it. Maybe there was so much angst around at Christmas with a lot of these songs. And this wasn't angsty in the end. It was. It's a good story. It's about a girl that basically is trying to get with this guy all year, and they keep bumping into each other throughout the year. And then finally, the Christmas magic works its way through their lives, and they end up being together. So yeah, you should definitely go and get that song. That's another one then that I like. Here comes my next little offering, because it's so tempting just to leave some of these songs on and not really sort of get moving.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank, an old man said to me, won't see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18-1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas, I love you, baby. I can see a better time when all our dreams come true.
So now I'm thinking with this song, you know, I just want to go to New York, spend Christmas in New York one day. It used to evoke that sort of memory, you know, like a riverside or a harbour or you know, a view of the Statue of Liberty that I've never seen. I can't see enough to see the New York scenes that are synonymous and famous with that city. But I would love to go. I'd imagine the Brooklyn Bridge. I have a view of what it might look like. I have a view of what the Statue of Liberty might look like. And, you know, this whole thing that, you know, American films and how brilliant some of those are. Everything from, like, Home Alone to Miracle on 34th Street. You know, even Polar Express to some extent, although that's a bit weird. But yeah, you know, Christmas Past, and that one, Polar Express, not so recent, not so old, I have to say. But yeah, some of the old American films, they just seem to do things so well with regards to Christmas. And then, of course, the Irish Connection. Well, obviously, Kirsty MacColl was English, wasn't she? I think. But the guy at the Pogues, he's Irish. But just her then as well, and the guy works down the chip shop. So it's not, you know, Swayze Elvis. Not, and just the tragedy of her life ending so soon and things. So Christmas evoking some of that when I hear this song. Quite a complicated set of thoughts regarding that one, I would think. Oh, hang on, what's that? I don't want that. This is rubbish. I'm basically, what's happened is I've turned voiceover off and I'm trying to get all my songs together. Anyway, we've wrecked that a little bit. We'll carry on regardless. What's coming next? Oh, yeah. So this is now Edison Lake and Palmer. And this really reminded me of Christmas at home. So this is the sort of thing where, when I did believe in Father Christmas. And I never really understood the words of this song before. And they're quite cynical, really. But let's hear the first verse.
They said there'll be snow at Christmas. They said there'll be peace on earth. But instead it just kept on raining, a veil of tears for the virgin birth. I remember one Christmas morning, a winter's light and a distant choir, the peal of a bell and that Christmas tree smell, and eyes full of tinsel and fire.
And how many times did you hear this music? Christmas! Live on BBC One, we have Esther Ranson and Do Whatever She's Doing, followed by a great entertainment as so-and-so comes and joins us for Live in Christmas. And it's all, they always use this music, don't they? Only on BBC One and all that. And I just remember, like, so Christmas Past, things like my, the massive Christmas dinners that we used to have at our house, like, turkeys. The turkey was huge. I don't even know if we could even lift it into the oven, but we managed to, and my mum did. And just some of our Christmases at home, there were we have a massive family, and just Christmas would be such a massive occasion where we'd have all these Christmas presents in like a Santa's box that, of course, Santa would come in and put into our room, and then then go down, and once we'd open them in our mum's room, there'd be usually enough like clothes to put on to get dressed, and then there'd be a few little things to play with, and probably a pair of slippers, the usual sort of thing, so that you've got enough to wear. And then it would be opening Christmas presents on around the Christmas tree, and my mum would just throw them at everyone. Paul, David, Andrew. Yeah, she was a dab hand, a good aim, and she used to throw our presents towards us, and they'd all be the ones from the family, and we'd have these sort of songs in the background. But just that mystery and that mysticism that I used to have about, you know, Father Christmas, or the anticipation of Christmas, and hearing these songs for the first time in stereo. And we've got through most of this song, so we better get through, because this wasn't the end one that I'm meaning to play. What have we got now? Oh, Paul McCartney. He definitely reminds me of Christmas dinners. This is Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time, Paul McCartney Wings, I believe. And what we used to do, this one reminds me of the Christmas pudding, and what my nan would, my nan would make a Christmas pudding, and then we would pour brandy over it and around it, and my mum would set it on fire, so all the lights would go off, and we'd turn all the lights off in the dining room, and then the brandy would burn this ring, a blue ring around the Christmas pudding, and that was to ward off the evil spirits. Mum was quite superstitious, is I think, maybe still, I don't know, but certainly that she would observe some of those things. And then my nan would put 5p in every Christmas dinner, not 5 green peas, 5 pence, as a 5p coin in your Christmas dinner. So I remember that really, really well, because you'd always, you'd hear someone munching their Christmas pudding going, oh, they're really nice, nan, and then suddenly, you know, on their teeth. And this would be a time when we'd be sort of like, you know, looking at what we got for Christmas and, you know, maybe having a little sneak of the selection box into a stomach that was already too full for words. And then it would be getting towards Christmas tea and that sort of thing. So that was that kind of thing there with Christmas with Paul McCartney. And, of course, the irrepressible, unforgettable Cliff Richard. And I'm going to let you hear some. It's such joy with his songs, I think, the Christmas songs. Just love them. Cliff Richard, I mean, how many amazing Christmas songs has he done? So, Little Town, just gave me a real world view, I think, of Christmas. I used to think, you know, I was starting to get interested, I don't know, we were taught at school about the meaning of Christmas, of course, and it was a very Christian-based school, I suppose, and, you know, obviously, I've followed that kind of tradition, and it became really a big part of my life, you know, my Christian faith and was I think born out partly of the roots that were invested in me at school and things like that. But this reminds me of like Christmas plays and stuff as well, and some of the Christmas plays we used to do, they're really epics, or real epics, like I'm trying to think what some of them, there's not many coming to mind. Snow White and the Seven Punk Rockers, I think, was probably one of the ones. And I got really worried because like they put a bit of paint in my hair, you know, it was just this paint that could easily come out like water paint. And I made them wash my hair for me before I went home, because I didn't want my mum to see that I'd got coloured hair, because I thought she'd hit the roof. And yet, all it was like just a bit of paint, water paint, as I said. And my mum was coming to see the play anyway, so, you know, she would have known that, she would have seen me, so I don't know what I was worried about, but I was. And just some of the little ones, like the first Christmas play I can remember, going back a bit before this, as it goes, but I was a teddy bear. And there was, we were toys that would come to life at night, and the little character girl of the story, whose toys we were, sewed me back together. I had to pretend I'd got a little bit of sawdust coming out my side, and she sewed it up and put the sawdust back in. Not sawdust, the whatever they call it. What goes into a teddy? Not sawdust. You know, a bit of its straw or grass or whatever. So yeah, Cliff Richard. Did some amazing, amazing, amazing Christmas songs. Okay, so what we got next? Now we're talking. So again, we're back to my kind of teenage angst, I think. This is Dan Fogelberg with, I think it's called Last Auld Lang Syne. So listen to this. I like Dan Fogelberg.
Met my old lover in the grocery store. The snow was falling Christmas Eve. Stole behind her in the frozen foods, and I touched her up. She didn't recognize the face at first, but then her eyes flew open wide.
Sorry, some weirdness just happened with my audio there. I'm going to keep playing because this has taken me a little while to sort of put together and to get right, but I do apologise if there's a bit of a bump there. Do keep listening. There shouldn't be any more. Dan Fogelberg, he's died now. He's done lots of songs that of those sort of songs that you'd recognise if you heard them. So Longo is one of his most famous songs, and Power of Gold, and a few other songs like that. And this again is one of those sad kind of songs in a way, you know, because basically it's all about how he met his this lover of his, and you know, really, I think obviously he still had feelings for her. She kind of sounds to me like she liked the idea of those feelings, but didn't really want to do anything about it, even though neither of their lives are really great as they were living them. So I suppose in a really basic way, it sort of taught me to try to really appreciate life, and that actually there shouldn't be lots and lots of regrets in your life, you know. And this is what this song's about, really. I think it's about regrets. But it's a beautiful song, as you can hear, and very, very, very well arranged song. And here's a little bit more of it. So yeah, this song reminds me as well of it's got that American wholesome kind of, you know, all the big harmonies, and a bit like Journey or Foreigner or, you know, those kind of things, and, you know, Chicago, Sad Cafe, Toto, you know, all these really big harmonies and big arrangements. Yeah, so Dan Fogelberg, I was going to say something else about him now, but I can't remember what it was. So that's all right, we'll have a little bit of thank you very much, Dan Fogelberg. Very nice sax solo at the end of that. And finally, Darkness. Okay, so this is when Love Actually came out, you know, with Bill Nighy, I think it is, and famous people like that. Oh, I'm sure you can think of who was in that. I'm forgetting. There was loads of stars in that. I'm forgetting the most obvious one. I can't think of his name. Anyway, I will in a minute. But it was, I don't know, was it like 2000 and something? Seven, maybe? 2005? I don't know. But there was this. There was a new Cliff Richard song. There was Christmas is all around us, to the tune of Love is all around us, which was one of the characters in Love Actually. I don't know if it was just over in Britain that this was the case, but so many great, great, great songs came out that should have been Christmas number one. When was the last time? Well, I bet all of those, or most of those songs I've played just now, most of them were either Christmas number ones or thereabouts. And the charts were full. Of amazing Christmas songs, such as this brilliant Christmas song, in my opinion, from The Darkness here. And so in 2000, whenever it was, we had this massive build-up of Christmas songs, and none of them got to number one. A depressing, horrible version of Mad World that was originally by Tears for Fears and got to number one. And I was depressed. It was depressing. This could have been it. I would have been really, really happy to wake up at Christmas. Now at number one on Radio 1, it's The Darkness with Christmas Time, or whatever. Oh, is this called Christmas Time? Don't let the bells end. But no, it wasn't. I was very, 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 very sad about that. So, in my view, your view, sorry, when is the last time we had really good Christmas songs? And do you think we should have them again? Listen to this, and this is where we'll end. Thanks for listening to me with all my little mistakes and foibles. I hope you get the point, and I hope you've enjoyed this. It's Paul Hopkins signing out, and looking forward to the rest of the advent calendar opening. Bye for now.